Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hello, Caviar Dreamers.
I'm Margaret Josephs.
And I'm Lexi Buputo.
And every week we are bringing you entrepreneur real stories from leaders, disruptors, change makers, and risk takers.
We may not be serious, but we seriously mean business. Well, Caviar Dreamers, we are back. It is a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday, and we have such a good episode today.
I never laughed so hard. This was a great episode.
We had interviewed Emily and Remy from Diet Starts Tomorrow. Amazing podcast that we have been listening to. They just took over on October 30th.
They did. It's a podcast. It's one of Betch's top podcasts. And both of them come from the podcasting arena. Remy has her own podcast, How Come? And Emily has two podcasts, Hot Mess Comedy Hour and RIP Diets. And they are hilarious whilst delivering positive messages that are so good for women today.
Yes, it's about body image. And who doesn't suffer from body image issues? We are getting messages every day via the internet, social media, family members,
ourselves. I think that's negative, the hardest one.
Negative feedback about our body images. And these two young women have figured it out and are going to give you information in and deliver it in a funny, hysterical way, how to get back your positive body image and what really matters in life.
And how to have a good orgasm from masturbating also.
Yes, exactly.
Covering good. All the essentials today.
Yeah, and it's just everything about body positivity. And they just did a great podcast about body trends. And I mean, since when are body trends a thing? Everybody's body should not be fitting into a trend. I mean, come on, we're born with this body.
No, exactly. Like knee boots, over the knee boots, ankle boots, that could be a trend.
Yes. I mean, your body should not be a trend.
No, your body is what you're born with and then what you might want to craft it into at the plastic surgeon. And that's okay too. If that makes you happy, there should be no shame in anyone's game.
Yeah. But if you're filling your face to look like a cabbage patch and filling your ass to be tremendous, FYI, that's not always going to be in style. So we're going to try and work on each other to be happy with what you have. It's not wrong to improve yourself. I mean, listen, I'm not a stranger to plastic surgery.
No, I mean, listen, I don't know why I waited so long to fix my nose when I did it. I wish I did it years before, and I would happily do more plastic surgery if I had time and or money.
And that's okay. It's okay to make yourself happy, but I'm not going to starve myself in to fit into heroin chic.
Well, heroin chic is just bad messaging all over. I don't think it's good to promote looking like a drug addict at any place because drug addicts don't even want to look like drug addicts because they need to be sober. It's just such bad messaging. So these girls have cut through that messaging and it's just so inspirational. And you're going to really love this episode.
Yes. So let's get into it.
Well, we are so excited to have Remy and Emily on today from Diet Starts Tomorrow.
I know. This is like a big deal to me because, First of all, you guys are, besides the fact you're hilarious, you're both super smart.
Oh, thank you.
And everything you guys talk about is so important and relevant, but you do it with a sense of humor, which I'm all about.
Thank you.
That.
Oh, we're so grateful to have you on. I mean, we were laughing, Nelly. Obviously, we're older. So we've lived
through,
like,
about that, even
drinking lemon water with cayenne pepper and, like, I don't know, rolling up amphetamine into rolling papers and swallowing it in high school to try and be skinny. You know, so we've lived through every unhealthy thing ever. And what you guys do is incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm interested to hear about the iterations of diet culture that you guys went through before we showed up, because there have been so many while we've been here and we're trying to get rid of a lot of it.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to lie. I'm on, like, taking peptide shots right now to be thin, because I'm in menopause and it's very hard to lose weight when you're in menopause and you struggle and you get that mid little spread in your stomach that you didn't have when you were younger. And it's, you struggle at every age, you know, that's the issue. You struggle at every age, and women unfortunately suffer, and they're about their self-image, unfortunately, is tied into their body, where men, they're not groomed that way. I think our parents do, sadly to say, do it to us. Society does it to us. And I love that you guys are plugged into that and you're young and you're speaking to young people about it. I know, Emily, you went to a camp to lose weight.
Yes. Yes, I did.
As a child. So do you feel like your parents, I know they're lovely people, but you feel like they contributed to this?
Yes, I do. And that was really difficult for me, I'll be honest, because growing up, like, I had a lovely, lovely childhood. I had two parents. I had older siblings that loved me. And so I had a lot to be very, very grateful for. And it was hard as an adult to kind of reconcile that, to be like, okay, well, my parents are lovely and they really do care so much about me and gave me so many opportunities. But at the same time, they fucked me up. And I think
this is
kind of my way of expressing it, is podcasting, because having those hard conversations with them, it just always felt impossible. And I never felt the freedom to be able to express my feelings about that, because I was so guilty for so long.
I think, listen, me being a mother, I could birth either one of you, I'm sure. That it is true. I think it's hard to be honest with your parents, because parents want to do the best thing for their kid. They think they're doing the right thing for their kid. I mean, I still get agitated with my mother, because I think she thought she was doing the best she could. I mean, listen, sometimes I tell my kid, I was like, do you think you need a chin implant? I mean, who the fuck says that? What am I thinking?
My God.
I mean, you know, and he's my son, and that's inappropriate. And I don't know why would I say that? It's because
I talk about this a lot, where I'm like, annoyed by what our parents have done to us, but then I think about what their parents did to them. And the reason why the parents were doing these things are because they were also ingrained to think people need to look a certain way in order to be loved. I want my child to be loved. I want them to be okay after I'm gone. You know, like all of this other stuff that goes into it, that you're just like, but let me order Chinese, Mom.
Exactly. Yeah. You want your kids, you know, you get it in your head, I think, that you want your kids, you think you want your kids to feel good about themselves. So you want them to be perfect,
perfect,
quote unquote, yes. You know? So you think you're doing the right thing. I mean, my mother had it from her mother, my mother's mother, you know, and my mother was born in the 40s, and her mother used to say to her, is just like, you're fat, you're, you know, and she grew up, you know, when they were broke, and it was more important to be, you know, to have food and you look like you were richer when you were healthier. But she's like, your legs are too fat. You're never going to find a nice guy. You better lose weight. You know, your ankles are too thick, you know, crazy things, because she thought she wouldn't find a good husband. I mean,
we put this upon ourselves.
Yeah, because my grandmother had very skinny ankles. I mean, granted, she was like a short, fat little troll, like a turkey. I mean, she you know how turkeys have those nice, skinny little legs, those big bites.
Yeah.
But something resonated with me, how you said about your, I was listening to your podcast the other day, about body trends.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that. Because it's true. Body, you know, we shouldn't be, there's no trends in body and fashion. So tell me more about
that. There shouldn't be. But yeah, the New York Post had this article the other day where they were saying heroin chic is back, which we all remember from the 90s. Mm-hmm. It was to look gaunt, to look like you were dying from heroin and be very, very, very thin. Kate Moss-esque. And a lot of people were like, no, like, why would you say that? Like, why would you say that that's back in? Because we remember going through, so many people had eating disorders because of this trend where that body type is not attainable for most people. Like I said on one episode, and I think I should attribute it to my sister, you can't starve a bulldog and expect it to look like a greyhound. You know, like some body types, right. They're just never going to look some way.
And I used that analogy that I heard you say the other day to someone, and they died on the floor. They're like, oh my God, I never heard it put that way. And it is the absolute best way. Doesn't matter how I wake up in the morning, I'm never going to have a curvy ass. Like, it just doesn't work. And I can remember when I was dating one guy who had always historically had girlfriends with bigger butts, and I always felt inferior. Like, he always looked at my ass
inferior
a
in the posterior.
That's right. Exactly. And it's funny how we like compare ourselves.
Yeah. It's so true. And I also like to compare it to shoe size, because, you know, and I think of my sister. My sister's very tiny. I'm very tall and more athletic than my sister, but she's very tiny and she has size 6 feet. And I wear a size 9, 9.5. If I were to try to squeeze into her size or try to bind my feet, I could maybe make my feet smaller, but they would be fucked up. They would be all bent out of shape and broken. So,
well, it's interesting that you bring that up, though, because that was one of the first body trends, right?
Foot binding.
Yeah,
historically in China. And like a lot of these body trends that you think about in the past, you're like, oh, of course of course that's dangerous. That sounds dangerous. Neck extensions, you think, oh, of course that's dangerous. You know, whatever. The body trends right now are just as dangerous. Because it's like, if that's not your body, you're going to die trying to get to it sometimes.
It's true.
It's very true.
I've said it to some people I work with. It's just the trend of the tiny waist and the tremendous hips and butt. Let's fill ourselves. You know what I'm saying? To have this unrealistic body type. I mean, most people aren't born that way. Yes, a lot of women are curvy. I love a good curve. But the over-exaggerated curve.
Well, I think also that the additionally dangerous part of it is when it is a trend and it's set by celebrities. Let's just say Kim Kardashian, you know, all of us has the most magnificent, curvy, delicious, voluptuous body that everyone wants to bang. And then the next minute she loses 20 pounds and is a stick, has her implants removed, dissolves her butt injections. Mm-hmm. And then the trend changes again. So what messaging is it for people who, you know, when you're following trends, it's so dangerous.
Mm-hmm. And also most people can't afford to do these things. So it's like, it's just really hard to expect them to be able to. I think it used to be really trendy back in like feudal times to be heavier because food was so scarce. Like body trends usually go with what is the most unattainable thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're climbing up this like uphill battle and it's never going to happen.
And it is so generationally ingrained in us, because I think like my mom, you know, I was born 1980. So my mom loved to be like 80s skinny. So even now when I'm getting ready, I could put on 1,000 outfits, not feel good in anything and be so hard on myself and throw everything on the floor. And that's because I watched her do that and sometimes be like, we're not going out because I have nothing to wear and I look shitty and everything. So we're not going out. And she listens to the podcast. Sorry, Ingrid, you did fuck me up that way. I love you and we've gone over it, but you still do it now and so do I. So it's okay. But it is, it's learned, and that you guys really speak to this and bring this up to young girls is so important.
I was going to say, I was telling Emily how my mom used to try to tell me that, like, cause she's very, very skinny, like prepubescent boy figure, basically. And she said that she used to get teased for that, like in the 60s growing up. And then Twiggy came around and she was so skinny. And so my mom finally felt like, oh my God, that's somebody who looks like me. And now this is in and this is exciting. But meanwhile, she's saying this to me, who's like, just gone through puberty, like am a voluptuous person, always have been. And I'm like, well, that's what's in right now. Like, fuck you. Like, it sounded like she was bragging to me, but really she was just trying to offer some camaraderie.
Yes.
But, yeah. Yeah.
What do you tell your listeners or people like young girls so they don't fall, or women or even people my age, whatever it is, not to fall into this? Because I mean, this is like a lifelong struggle for everybody. I mean, it consumes your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, personally, what worked for me was ditching diets. And that's something that I talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. I think that dieting, and especially chronic dieting, like trying fad diets and then maybe losing a lot of weight, and then inevitably you put on that weight again and you need to try another diet, that whole cycle keeps you in a state of constantly thinking you need to change yourself. And, you know, the diet industry is a multi-million dollar industry, and they're constantly targeting us and telling us to feel bad about ourselves because that's how they sell their product. And I think taking a step back from that really, I mean, not just listening to your body and treating it with respect and kind of like moving away from the diet mentality, I think that's a huge part of it, but also analyzing these messages that are being fed to us that we should not be happy with ourselves or that we need to change ourselves, to really look at it with a critical eye and say, how does that make me feel? And why do I feel that? And who's profiting off of me feeling that way is a huge part
of it. I also, Emily suggested this to me, which was follow more creators who like have body positive content or have a body type like yours and live fully and positively. And like, I follow these people now that I'm like, oh my God, like, what am I do? You know, your mom was saying like, oh, I can't find something to wear. We're not going. I ruined my boyfriend's birthday last year because of that. And now I'm like, that is so far from my mind because I see other people just like being their best selves and like really embracing the body that they're currently in instead of aspiring to a body that they might never have.
And it's so hard as well, because in that moment you feel like such a brat. You know you're doing it, but you can't get yourself out of that cycle. I was like that a few weeks ago when we shot the new cover for Caviar Dreams. I just felt shitty about myself. And I'm going to be 42. Like at this stage of my life, I would have hoped I would not give a fuck and would feel fantastic. And it doesn't happen. And I do think social media plays a huge part in that.
Huge.
It really does.
Yeah.
I don't think there is an age that you just get over it. I think you need to train yourself to not give a fuck. My 90-year-old grandmother still talks about wanting to lose some weight. And she doesn't even go anywhere. Like,
yeah.
We really want to address these things when we're still young because
your body's going to keep changing and you're going to keep being able to find things to be like, ugh, I fucking hate this. Like my mom tells me all the time, because my aunt is 5 years younger than her. So she'll tell my aunt, oh, in 5 years, this is going to happen to your body. And then it'll happen to my aunt in 5 years. And eventually she stops. She was like, Robin, can you just not tell me about those things anymore? Like, I don't even want to be afraid of them. I want to like not notice them if they happen.
But the tragedy is, if I could look back now and tell like my 21-year-old self who thought that there were things in the wrong place, I'd take that back in 2 seconds. Now my tits are on my knees and I pee when I jump. Like, I, you know, I would trade it all in to go back in time.
Have you had kids?
Yeah. I do. I have one little son who's 4.
Okay. Is that why you pee when you jump? Because that I just recently learned about that, like that they make pee underwear for post-pregnancy and stuff.
You
and I
just
never
learned
knew
this. It's like a huge part of it.
I never knew.
Yeah. Don't let it put you off. Kids are great. But yeah, you pee when you jump. But they have all sorts of things for it now. So it's not so bad.
There's even like a little, we learned the other day, we went to a place that you just sit on this machine now and it does your Kegels for you. It basically electrifies your vagina. It's great.
Oh, so good.
Wow.
I know.
Because the other option was they were going to put filler, like cheek filler, in my urethra. And it might get too tight. So then I'd need a catheter. And I was like, okay, catheter's an old lady word. We're out. Done.
Yeah. I'd rather pee myself.
Right?
You know what else I think has ruined women's body image and screwed up our sex lives? And tell me if you agree. Mm. Porn.
Oh, yes. Oh, I can speak to this very much.
Let's talk about that, because I think it's screwed up a lot of things.
Porn, at least back in 10 years before now, has primarily been made by and for the male gaze. And so a lot of porn is just for guys, like what they want to do to women, what they want women to look like while it's happening. And a lot of that is sucked in stomachs and perfect faces, like perfect O faces and perfect tits and no cellulite because of editing or whatever. And so if you, like me, saw any of those, you would think that that's how you have to look while having sex. And not only are you not just somebody like to perform for somebody else, but those things are prohibitive of your own pleasure. Because a lot of times to have an orgasm, you need to let your stomach relax. You know, you need to not be thinking about what my body looks like, or are my tits swinging right now? Like, what, you know, like,
how's my hair?
Yeah. How's my hair? It doesn't matter. Get out of your head. You know, he's not thinking about it. Like, their faces are horrible.
It's true.
But no one ever told them it was a problem. So, yeah, but there's female made porn now, and there's porn for all genders, and there's audio porn, which is amazing because it lets you use your imagination instead of having like a specific archetype of what to look like. But that's
I didn't know that. Where have I been?
Oh, hell yeah. Dipsy, baby.
Ooh, we got to get into this. I have a theory about guys' cum faces, by the way. If you watch a musician and they make like a really weird face when they play the drums and they play the guitar, that is definitely the face they make in bed. And it freaks me out. So a lot of bands I can't look at anymore. It like creeps me out.
That's amazing. Yeah,
that's incredible. And I think bassists, I could see that. Oh. Bassists always make the most wild faces. Ooh. And I have
while
no idea
shredding.
Where that comes from. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You totally can see that.
But yeah, I think the porn issue has also caused sexual issues, not only for women, but for men.
Yeah.
And
totally.
Because I know, Remy, you prior to this with the orgasm, I don't know if we want to talk about that at all, but.
Sure. If you guys want to talk about it, I love to talk about it. I started a podcast because I had never had an orgasm at 28 years old. Classic way to learn. It's called How Come. And it worked, and I come now, and it's wonderful. But I had all these people on to tell me about their first experiences, and then they had to give me assignments on what I should do to make it happen. And porn was one of those early assignments. And I remember just being like, is it weird that I don't like this? Like, I don't, it makes me feel bad about myself. It makes me feel like I have to look like a certain standard in order to deserve pleasure.
Did your partners previous to that, did they realize you weren't orgasming?
My boyfriend and I were dating before the podcast. Yes, he knew the whole time. He tried his best. But I always say, like, it's really hard to expect somebody else to make you have an orgasm if you haven't done it yourself.
Yes, like, yes. Like, I think it's also, it's very mental.
Yeah, like, I just think it's like, a rude challenge as well. It's like, hey, here, solve this Rubik's Cube. No one's ever done it. Also, you're naked. Like,
yes, no, you're, no, I think that's very good. I think you're absolutely right. That's because I think people don't realize that orgasm's really as much mental as it is physical.
Yeah. And if
you have to get out of your own, you have to get out of your own head.
And if you don't know your own body, yeah, it's very, you can't expect someone else to do a good job. It's not magic.
Well, yeah, because it's so personal, too. A different thing works for different people. And there are some women that, you know, they really need to feel like tune into their senses. Like I've recommended to friends before, turn off all the lights and just like focus on how you're feeling. But some people, and including women, are visual. We think of men as being the visual ones, but some of us are visual. So this is all to say that something different works for everyone, and you can't discover that until you try a lot of different things.
I personally know the visual things that work for me are like really romantic movies.
Oh,
like I will watch a romance and my hands will start like tingling in a way that a porn could never get me to.
Like Pride and Prejudice, or what are we talking about?
I'm trying to think. Oh, okay. This is embarrassing, but I was watching the Kissing Booth series. Have you guys heard of the Kissing Booth?
Yes, I love the Kissing Booth.
It's a good film. Should I watch the Kissing Booth?
Oh, me and Ron Juicy, big proponents of the Kissing Booth.
Yeah, Jacob Elordi, my hands were on fire. It was crazy.
Okay, so now Joe and I are going to have to watch the Kissing Booth.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. It's very, very cute. Yeah, Ron turned me on to that one.
Okay. I like that. Okay.
Good, so when it came out, I was like, I can't watch it. It's a high school thing. And then I don't know, like the other week I was like, oh, watch The Kissing Booth, whatever. And I was like, oh.
Well, none of these kids are actually in high school, so don't worry about it.
Right.
You can fantasize about them all
you
can.
Don't feel guilty. Don't feel that you're lusting after the youth.
So obviously the Diet Starts Tomorrow podcast has been on the air since 2018, and you guys mm-hmm. just took over October 30th. How did you guys get connected?
So what happened was randomly we heard that the host might be stepping down. We went in to record a demo. I think that they found me because I had been doing a podcast for a couple of years called RIP Diets, and I'd been doing that on my own. I started it in quarantine. And I had been doing it about 2.5 years at that point and had been putting clips out and a lot of content. And so somehow they found that and they DM'd me saying, can we meet to talk about podcast opportunities? It turned out that they were looking for a replacement on Diet Starts Tomorrow, which is one of their flagship podcasts.
Yeah.
It was very popular and very established.
And Sammy and Aileen, who are two of the CEOs of Betches, used to run it. So these were very considerable shoes to fill.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, when they wanted to have two people as co-hosts, and I thought of Remy immediately because I think that Remy and I share a lot of the same sensibilities.
I keep holding myself accountable via podcasting. Like, and Emily knows that I've done that before with How Come. Like, I was like, I'm going to learn how to do this and I'm going to do it with this podcast. And like, I've been struggling with body stuff and I'd been sending her memes and videos and all this stuff being like, this is what I'm thinking about. And like, I know you run this podcast or whatever. And she was like, maybe we can heal you through another podcast, you know, and kind of fix you and take another journey. So yeah.
Which I love. Like, I love a project and mm-hmm. I also love teaching people about the anti-diet mentality and teaching people about intuitive eating. I've turned, you know, a bunch of my friends onto it. I've converted my sister to this way of eating. It's something that I'm so, so passionate about. And so when I was keeping in touch with Remy and I was hearing about these struggles that she had been having with her body, as many of us started to have throughout quarantine, by the way, I just thought that this is the perfect person because there are so many people that are funny and there are so many people that are smart and well-spoken, but you would be surprised how few people are actually open-minded about this stuff. And Remy had such an open mind and is such a curious person that I knew it would be magic. So yeah, we went in, we recorded a demo and we heard very, very quickly after.
They were like, yep.
Yeah. And I think it's because we have really good chemistry. We were already friends, which I think is important. You know, just like the two
Big
of
win.
You, the on-air chemistry is so important. And having somebody that you know and trust, it really makes a difference. So
yeah, it creates a space to be able to open up.
Yeah. So
about some really like tough stuff.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, we've been able to keep it funny. They definitely wanted people who were funny, but they also wanted people who were willing to examine this stuff and to grow and to talk about their personal growth.
That's so, you know, that's so impressive. And I love that story because you can see the chemistry. It's big shoes to fill, but you guys have filled it so well already. And I think it's so important and you're helping so many people.
Yeah. How did you guys meet?
Yes, so, how did you guys meet?
We both used to do stand-up. I still do stand-up. Her co-host of her other podcast, mm-hmm. Hot Mess Comedy Hour,
yes,
and I were friends. When I came out as anorgasmic, she was like, you got to get on our podcast. I went on theirs. I fell in love with Emily. They came on mine. Everybody fell in love with them. Like they were like my first repeat guests. Like, I feel like podcasting with people is like the best because you get really deep really quick.
Yes.
You know what? It's so
very intimate.
It really is. And I don't know if this is jumping ahead, but I kind of wrote this down for one of my secrets to succeeding in business is making connections and not doing it because you think you're going to get ahead. Like I remember connecting with Remy and I didn't know if I would ever work with her or, you know, collaborate on anything, but I just knew that we had similar sensibilities, similar vibes, and that she was into the same things that I'm into and involved in the same industry. And I think making connections and making friends in your industry is so important because those people can actually propel you to your next level of success.
Mm-hmm. And I will say also, be curious about information, ask people for other information, but share what you know with other people, like be giving of yourself, because every time I have been giving of myself, it's come back tenfold. And I wasn't doing it for that result, but like I taught one of my friends how to start a podcast. It's one of the most successful podcasts now. Like, it's fantastic. I would send Emily these TikToks and memes and stuff for her podcast because I was like, this will be genuinely like helpful to her. But then it eventually ended up helping me because now I'm on this journey with her.
I love that advice because I feel like a lot of people don't share. We're sharers.
You especially. You told me to be a sharer.
Yeah. And I think it's so important to share. I love to share. I love to watch other people mm-hmm. succeed. I love to lift other people up. Unfortunately, in the TV industry, everybody's not a sharer and doesn't want to help other people.
Sure. And in normal life, too, like you will get fucked over a few times.
Oh, you'll totally get fucked over. Yeah. But that shouldn't deter people. Don't you agree? I think
100%.
But I love that you guys are sharers because it does come back tenfold, like you said. And that's great advice. And that you can mentor other young women and teach them to share because that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. That's the other thing, too, with like my sex stuff is I felt nobody shared with me. Like, where was everybody telling me what they were doing with masturbation techniques or anything like that? Everything was kept so close to the chest. And I'm like, here's my information. This is the toy I used. Go do it. Go squirt.
It seems like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like everybody would kind of just give you the blanket advice of like, well, when you have one, you'll know.
You'll know. Yeah.
I know. That's like so
it's after very the fact. Funny. So when Marge went on Housewives, yes. her first mm-hmm. episode out the gate.
Yeah, my first episode out of the gate, I talked about Pop Puss, which was like this spray that you, Joe and I got that you
pot
spray.
Puss?
Like I called weed? It Pot Puss. It was like, okay, you know, so it was like 6 years ago. It's like a THC that I got in Colorado that you spray on your puss, marinate 20 minutes like a chicken. Lovely. And it was very good for your orgasms. And, you know, I said it makes my husband shoot across the room. And then, you know, and everybody was like, you know, all the girls on the show were like, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? We're grown women. And I was like, well, how often do you masturbate? Like half the women at the table. Oh, I've never done that. I was like, are you bullshit?
Literally.
You know, I
liar.
Was like, liar, pants on fire.
These are like grown fucking women that live their life out on TV and you're going to say you never had an orgasm?
Oh, I don't have to. I have men right around the corner. I have that. I was like,
what?
I was like, really? Stop. And I was
not
so,
the same.
I was so disappointed. Yes, I was so disappointed in these women. I was like, what kind of show am I going on?
Yeah.
That they're going to lie on national TV when all women are watching this and make it out like we're above this. And I was like, you are such a liar. I think that's why Danielle Staub and I bonded because she was like, oh, I messed with her.
She was more honest about it.
I think I could be wrong, but I think usually when people say that or when people get shy about it, it's usually because they have shame. And
yes, of course.
It's shame, but like also gatekeeping. Because here's the thing. If you're saying, oh, I never need that. I never need clitoral stimulation. I can just do it from penetration. That sets up this narrative that other people are going to be like I thought, oh, you need another person to do it. You need a guy to do it. And like, it's never going to happen without a guy. And if you don't do it during intercourse, it's never going to happen. Untrue. 25% of people with vulvas need clitoral stimulation and can't do it with
only 25%
penetration alone.
Wow.
Yeah, I would have thought that was higher.
I'm sorry. Only 25% can do it
without
only penetration.
Yes, 75% clitoral stimulation.
Yeah.
Sorry. Because I was like, 25%.
Wow. That's
low. That's low.
It does take a lot of women speaking up on it, though. We went to see an off-Broadway play years ago by Lois Robbins where she talked about how she was very...
Wait, Margaret, I was going to... I don't know if we met at that play.
You look familiar. That's what I'm saying. You do look familiar.
I met you and your mom.
Yeah.
With Marge Senior, right?
I met
you
and your mom because your mom was wearing a suit that I also owned. And I was like, great suit. And then I was like, oh, it's the Marges.
It's the Marges. That was great because Lois Robbins spoke about her masturbation.
Mm-hmm. She would sit on the washing machine as a
when
child,
it would vibrate and things like that. Yes,
so honest. Like, it's funny. Someone I know who is a very young girl said to me once, it feels so relaxing when I touch myself down there. And I'd actually just read an article about how to message stimulation to children. And I said, well, that is fantastic. Good for you. You could do that anytime you're alone to relax. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. something that you could enjoy. And previously, having not read this article, I might have been like, oh, fuck, what do I say? Like, oh, don't touch yourself. Do you know what I mean? Right. But we have to have good messaging around all of your body, every piece of it.
Exactly. We go for massages all the time. What's wrong with a little, you know, crotch massage?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. There is nothing wrong with a crotch massage.
Ooh, me too.
In fact, I'll be back in 5 minutes.
I know.
That's always the issue with talking about this stuff. I'm like, I gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta go. Exactly. We need to relax. We need
school
to unwind.
School pickup's coming.
School pickup's coming. I gotta meet the girls for dinner. I need a little break right before I go out. You know, to get me in the mood. And the more you orgasm, I think the more orgasmic you become.
Totally. And I was just going to say, it's interesting what you said about like, oh, if I hadn't read that article, I might have like freaked out and said something, like the same way that your mom had like freaked out and like about her clothes and that imprinted on you. So many people have come into me being like, yeah, the first time my parents saw I was masturbating, they were like shameful about it. And that like keeps them ashamed of it for a while. Until they go on The Real Housewives of New Jersey and lie.
Exactly. I know. I could not believe it. I was like in shock. I think they've loosened up recently because Teresa talks all about her vibrators and her masturbation.
Yeah. Because of you, though.
Yeah,
also.
I think I'm going to say I was a positive influence on the sexual freedom of housewives of New Jersey.
Oh, I think you're a positive influence on so
like
many.
Like you're literally lowering the ladder down and being like, this is how I did it.
Yeah. Yes, it's true. You have to be that way because otherwise women do feel shitty about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not right. And we shouldn't make each other feel shitty about ourselves.
It's so true. Now, Remy, you had a little cameo on The Housewives of New York.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
Worst show I've ever done. No, I'm just kidding. It was very interesting.
Would you ever have any desire to be a housewife, either of you?
Absolutely. Sign me up.
Okay. All right. Good.
I don't even need to think about it. I love The Housewives. I love the franchise. I have never watched New Jersey because it's so local to me. I've never.
How?
And I know everybody says it's the best one.
It's all about family.
Everyone tells me you need to watch it. It's the best one. But what it is I don't watch New York or New Jersey because I think they
it's too close to home.
It's too close to home, literally.
But I think you would.
So I watch,
I
watch Beverly Hills, I watch Salt Lake, I watch Potomac, and I love these women because they don't take themselves too seriously. I mean, some of them do, but for the most part.
Some of them will send a cease and desist.
But the ones that I always gravitate to are the ones that don't take themselves too seriously and just put themselves out there and are able to have fun. I think it's just the best franchise on television.
Truly.
Most of them don't take themselves too seriously. I think authenticity makes a good housewife. I mean, train wrecks also make a good housewife, but I like the authentic ones. But I think it's everybody sees a little bit of themselves in a housewife.
Yes.
I feel like I see a bit of myself in everyone. Like, that's what's so fun about the show is it, like, remains so nuanced because you're like, I hate what this person is saying, but I get why she's saying it.
It's true.
Yeah.
Listen, I say it too. Some of the people that I don't get, well, not everybody. I mean, sometimes I'm like, I could never even think that way sometimes with them. But it's like, I could also, listen, last year I didn't get along with Jennifer, but I can understand why she felt that way and the vulnerability of some of the women. And, you know, but there's a lot of guarded and everything else. But you know how it is. It's just like, I try and be my best authentic self and flaws and all. And I think we're all flawed in a certain way, but I think we should accept ourselves for that. And I think you guys are doing a great job of teaching women that. So thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. No, thank you for doing it on a national scale.
I mean, listen, it's the scrutiny. The scrutiny is unbearable. Tell me what each of you was your big girl panty moment when you were like, oh, my God, this is my sink or swim moment.
Okay. So when it comes to my career, I think that my big girl panty moment would have been when I quit my day job, which would have been about 6 years ago. And prior to that, I had been doing stand-up comedy and I had a semi-successful podcast, but I still needed a day job, or I thought that I needed a day job because I really liked having that security of knowing that I was getting a paycheck. And also the way that it looked to other people, particularly my family, just it made me more comfortable knowing that they were more comfortable, that I had a steady income. But the problem was I was working from 9 to 6, Monday through Friday, and I didn't have time to really give it my all with podcasting or with comedy or with anything really, with my job either. So I decided that I was going to budget it out and I was going to figure out how I can live within my means on this small salary from my podcast. I need to force myself to make this happen by not keeping this security net of my day job. So ever since then, you know, a million opportunities have opened up for me. I was able to start a podcast of my own.
Oh, congratulations. Yes, that's so great.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's kind of similar. Well, not similar at all, but similar in that I stopped trying to make other people happy. I had started this company called The Tuck when I was like 24 years old. It was an expandable leather belt loop. I raised $30,000 on Kickstarter. I made a commercial to do it. And then I started getting all of these people being like, the product is really good, but like you're amazing in the commercial. And like the commercial's like really funny. Like, and I had been thinking since I was like 14, I want to do comedy. I want to be in front of the camera. But because I wasn't quote unquote perfect looking, you know, I thought, well, of course that's out. You know, I have to do something more normal. And with these comments, I was like, I don't think I'm going to go ahead with this company thing. I think I'm going to start improv classes again and maybe start stand up. And I just like, people were really mad because they were like, I really like the product. My parents were like, you're becoming an entrepreneur. Like you raised all this money. Like it was a success. And it was the first time that I was like, yeah, but I think I have to kill my darling right now because I can't do a startup and an entertainment career. And so, yeah, I did the same thing. I had to live on a lot less money, but I moved in with my grandmother. And yeah, things did end up working out.
Good for you. Yeah. Good for you. I love that. The Tuck does sound like an amazing idea, though. It does. I like The Tuck. Or your Thank parents you. Like, Remy, what are you doing?
Like my parents still will be like, so do you think you need a side hustle?
And I'm I mean, when we signed our contract with Betches to do this podcast, mm-hmm. I called my dad and I told him all about it. And he said, oh, wow. Okay. Do you think you could get a job there?
Oh my God. That's
I was
so
like, dad, this
funny.
Is my
You're
dream
like, this
job.
Is a job. You, this is a job. This is my dream job. That is so hysterical.
When How Come blew up, my parents were like, maybe this will lead to you becoming a doctor. I'm like, I'm not going to become a doctor.
Give it up. Give it up, mom and dad.
Oh my God. So we always accredit Marge's success to 50% determination and 50% mm-hmm. delusion. How do you figure mm-hmm. your percentages stack up?
Okay, so I think, and I gave this some serious thought.
Okay. Well,
we appreciate that.
I agree.
I think that I'm about 80% determined and 20% delusional. And I'll tell you why.
Wow.
You have to be a little bit delusional at least to want to be in entertainment. And, and particularly podcasting, you can't depend on dressing cute or the way you look or anything like that. You have to think that what you have to say is going to resonate with people and that people will True. Care what you have to say. So that's, you know, that's a little delusional. And I do have that a little bit. But in general, I'm such a pragmatic person. I'm very, very methodical. And I actually think that has led to my success because if I was a little more delusional and a little less methodical, I think I would be an insufferable person, if I'm being honest.
I think I am 60-40 in favor of determination. And I would say that my delusion is less than 50 because I do suffer from a lot of imposter syndrome. Otherwise, I would be 50-50.
That's common.
I would be 50-50. But it's like it pushes it down. However, I do think I am way more delusional than Emily because like I'll be at this stage in my life and be like, ooh, should I buy that dress in case I like win an Oscar? Like that.
I know. Listen, I get it. I know that delusion. Listen, if we don't believe our own hype though, who's going to believe mm-hmm. us? You both Thank are a you. Big deal.
And obviously, thanks, Emily, guys. You answered this a little bit earlier about your most entrepreneurial advice, but what would it be for our listeners?
Yeah. So other than making connections, I would just say, try to learn as much as you can about the industry that you want to be in. I think learning about what else is out there and not just zoning in on yourself, really taking in everything and seeing what other people who are successful are doing, it's a great way to draw inspiration and practice some of that stuff yourself.
Good advice.
Very.
And good advice for the Marge.
Really love what you do. Like, because you're going to be doing that thing for a very long time. Be fucking interested. Immerse yourself and love the thing because you're going to be immersed. So you might as well love the thing.
I always tell people, try not to spread yourself too thin.
The Marge needs that advice. I'm very naughty. Very naughty.
Yes.
I do the same thing.
It's hard because when you have so many ideas, especially if you're a creative person, you want to do all of them.
Learn your learning style and your energy style and learn to accept that, because I work in a way where I won't do any work for like 2 weeks sometimes. I have to remind myself in those low periods, I'm not lazy, I'm not worthless. It just takes me some time to rest and rejuvenate and reboot so that I can bring myself to the thing again, like in my full form.
Wow.
I love that advice. Because I think for creative people especially, you beat the shit out of yourself.
I know. Like when I'm on the sofa and I'm on those sofa days and I'm like having the guilt and I'm like, ugh, I can't pull it together. I feel so bad. And then Joe comes home and he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm watching Charlie D'Amelio on Dancing with the Stars because I missed it. And I'm just like embarrassed. Amazing. Like, because I feel like I'm not achieving. But it's true. You need to rejuvenate. I love that you guys are young and so smart and giving such great advice and that you've learned this at a young age. No. I'm learning from you. So that's impressive that you're going to tell everybody this. Very smart.
You know what? I would like to bestow something on you that somebody told me. And I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. We don't judge a lion for lying in the sun and just relaxing. He's just being a lion. So we humans, we're animals too. And sometimes we need to lie around and do nothing.
And we don't judge an owl for working at night just because that's how his body works.
Oh, I love it. This was so great. Thank you so much.
I feel like I'm going to be kinder on myself already.
Me too. Thank you so much for coming on. Tell everybody where to find you guys.
You can listen to the podcast. It's Diet Starts Tomorrow, anywhere that podcasts are available. And you can follow Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram. And you can follow me at Lubination. I'm Lubination everywhere on all social media platforms.
And I'm Remy Casimir. And if you have trouble having orgasms, how come is spelled how you think it is.
So good. Well, thank you.
Thank
fabulous.
You so
thank
much.
Thank you guys thank so, so much for much. Having us.
This was so fun for us. You enlightened me and bestowed a lot of great things on me. And I feel better and rejuvenated. Smarter and more orgasmic.
Thank you guys
this
so much.
So fun. I mean, Emily and Remy, I love that they're just so plugged in and they've already got it figured out.
I feel like we've lived through a time where there was so much shame and guilt around everything. Well, also because we didn't have it bombarded from every direction.
Yeah, like we didn't have social media.
And so I think even while it was like hard for us, it was not as like overcoming, like it's everywhere you look now. So representation really matters. And the fact that they are bringing such, you know, awareness to like positive body images and positive sexual culture is amazing.
Yes. And I think everybody should just be happy the body you're in, follow Diet Starts Tomorrow. And I like the idea of just don't compare yourself to everybody and masturbate.
And also, exactly.
Listen, self-massage, it's a good thing.
Exactly. And let's not forget that as Korea women and entrepreneurs, they decided they wanted to be comedians and podcasters and they fucking went for it.
Yes, you got to push yourself. We push ourselves every week.
If you're afraid, then it's probably good.
Yes, it is. Don't do things to make other people happy. You have to do what feels good for you in your career. And what's going to make you happy. Because if you're happy, the people around you are going to be happy. So I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did.
Oh, this was a great one.
This was a great one. So thanks, Caviar Dreamers.
Bye, Caviar Dreamers.
Thanks for listening.
And if you love the podcast, don't forget to leave us a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts.
Follow me at The Real Margaret Josephs.
And me at The Life of Mrs. B. And the podcast at Caviar Dreams Tuna Fish Budget.
Tune in every Wednesday for new episodes. Keep dreaming, Caviar Dreamers.